quite encouraging to see Sister Joanne at the memorial service Saturday, stand up strong and be able to read the obituary of her husband's. And we'll miss Brother Stanley, but I'm sure heaven is sweeter today. And if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Revelations. The Lord seemed to be dealing with me on a subject for the last, it's been since before Christmas, and maybe a strange passage of Scripture, but bear with me if you will. It's a familiar passage. Most of you probably can quote this. It's found in Revelation chapter 14, and I'm going to be looking at verse 13. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, and keep your Bibles open if you will. And he said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." As I was going over in my mind the events that have taken place of this year of 2025, those events, Brother Virgil, they're in the book. I can't go back. I can't change them. And I was beginning to think about the things that have happened this past year, the funerals that I've preached, the funerals that others have preached, the loved ones in the church that we've lost. And I begin to remember the dead. And I know that may sound a little strange, but I'm talking about those that died in the Lord. Proverbs 10 and 7 tells us that the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. And I got to thinking about some of the ones that we have lost in this past year. About Brother Stanley come to my mind. I never got to know Brother Stanley in his younger days. Some of the things that I learned about him in the reading of the obituary, and some of the work that he had done for the Lord. Those are things that stuck in people's minds that they remembered. And I thought about Brother Jim Robbins. I was privileged to know Brother Jim Robbins for many years. And Brother Jim, he would always come across as just a simple man. I'm not being disrespectful, but he would just tell you, he said, there's just not a lot of things that I know. And the thing that stuck in my mind about Brother Jim Robbins is what is it? What are you going to do with it? And can I have it? And really, when it come to salvation, he didn't understand a lot about the Bible. And he'd tell you, I just can't understand it all. But he said, I'm getting little bits and pieces of it. And he said, I think I've got it figured out. But there come a day and time in his life that he said, can I have it? What are you going to do with it? Can I have it? He accepted Jesus Christ as a personal. I heard him stand up and say, I know that I am saved. You may not have understood all of his ways and all of his little antics, but that's all right. And Sister Brown, I thought about Brother Kenneth. I remember the good things. I remember him standing up. And Brother Brown, you just have to know him to love him. I seen him dance all around this church. He got wound up. He went around the altars a time or two, I think. Went out that door and come back in the back door. He stood up time and time again and preached a message. It's one of the greatest messages that I ever heard preached to me. Just the simple little words. The difference is the difference. The difference in life. The difference when you're sick. The difference is when you're down. The difference is when it seems like all the world is against you. All the oppressions of the enemy's coming down like a flood against you all at once. The difference is the difference. The difference is the difference even in death. Because we don't sorrow as other sorrows. But we have a hope of life eternal. I thought about old Secord. Get up here and on that clarinet. That was one of his favorite songs, The Meeting in the Air. I thought about not only those that we have lost, but what did the Proverbs say again? The memory of the just is blessed. I thought about this past year, and I know I probably missed some in the church that had passed on, the loved ones that's gone, and forgive me if I didn't call your loved one out. But I thought about some of our young people. Little Bella got saved. Lily got saved. Weston got saved. The youth camp that they went to and all the wonderful things that happened, and Jared and Elizabeth decided that they felt called to be youth leaders and the different things in the church that's taking place. I remember those things. But you know what? 2025, it's in the books. It's over. We can't go back and redo the things that had happened. Some things I'm glad we can't. I remember some of the people that we prayed for. Sister Barbara stood up and she's announced that she's cancer free. The different ones that have had prayer, needed prayer, and God moved in a miraculous way and touched them. And I can't help it but talk about myself just a little bit. The end of July, I didn't know what the future held. Some of y'all don't know, and some of y'all wasn't here. But I was spraying Diaquat. It's an aquatic herbicide in a strip pit. Got in both of my eyes, and I was blind for 12 days. Could not see absolutely anything. Chemical burns. The doctor said it was a burn, a 7 out of 10. It was as bad, about as bad as you could get. They didn't know if I'd ever be able to see again. I didn't know if I'd ever be able to see again. What's a preacher going to do? What's a beekeeper going to do? What's somebody who likes to work with their hands and work in the shop? What am I going to do? I can't see anything. But God, 12 days, I lost my eyesight. I told someone, I said, I have had better vision when I was blind than I ever had before. The doctors got through treating me with eye drops and peeling the scales off of my eyes, the membranes off of my eyes. I was able to see. Went back to the eye doctor and they said, you've got 20/20 vision in both. I didn't have that before. I've got one eye that still waters a little bit, but praise God, Jacob, he walked with a limp the rest of his life. I can take a teardrop every once in a while. What will this next year have to offer? Jesus gave us the recipe for a successful year. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 21. And if you'll bear with me just a little bit, I've got just a little bit here that I'm going to share with you. Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 12. This is actually recorded in three of the four Gospels. And the Bible says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, It is written, In my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Jesus came into the temple that day, and they were changing money. This had happened gradually over a period of about 500 years of time. They had gotten to the point that they had just, we would just go to the temple. The husband would say to the wife, Well, did you bring your sacrifice? No, I didn't get a sacrifice. We'll just buy one when we get there. They would come to the temple and they would come unprepared. We come to church a lot of times unprepared. I want to look at 2026 as an opportunity to fix some things that was I wasn't happy with in 2025. I want to come to church prepared to have church, prepared to feel the power and the presence of the Almighty come into this place and just engulf this. Changes being made. People's lives changed. People set free, delivered from sin. They would come in and they would buy their sacrifice. The Bible here mentions, you'll find it also mentioned in the book of John, chapter 2 and verse 16, that they sold the doves. The doves was a sacrifice for the poor. They offered sacrifices based on their ability or their wealth, if you will. The dove was the cheapest sacrifice that could be brought. You know what that tells me? It's the same thing that's going on today. People come to the house of God and they want a rich man's blessing on a poor man's sacrifice. They don't want to give up time during their week to read their Bible, to study, to pray. They don't want to take time spending with the Lord and God Almighty. They want to come to church and they want to come to church and say, I want to get a rich man's blessing on a poor man's offering. There's a danger I see of religion. It become a method. You remember the serpent on the serpent on the pole, the serpent of brass. You was look on it and live. 900 years later, the prophet Hezekiah found them worshiping that serpent on a pole and blessing an idol. The worship in the temple, the sacrifice to the altar. They would come in and they would offer their sacrifices and the priest would take and offer that and the blood would flow out of the temple and flow down into the Kidron Valley into the Dead Sea, never to be remembered forever again. But they had gotten lazy. They had gotten complacent. They become dependent on someone else for their sacrifice, someone else to do the work. If we're not careful, 2026, it'll just be another trip to church. But the Bible says in verse number 12, and that Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Why did he not mention the lambs? Why did he not mention maybe the bullocks or the sheep, but the doves? The doves. Josephus and Roman historians also, they record that on the outside of the inner court, they would take that dove, and they would drive a stake in the ground, and they would tie a string around that dove's leg. And that dove, all it could do was fly in a circle and hobble around until someone said, I'll buy that for a sacrifice. What's all that mean? Well, you got to understand what the dove is symbolic of, what it represents. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The dove is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit. We come to church and it seems like there's so many services that we want to harness the Holy Spirit, if you will. We want to hold Him back and say, we've got a program. We've got a schedule. This person's got to sing, and that person's scheduled to sing, and this one's got to testify. Brother Blake's got a poem, and you know, we've got certain things, and we've got an order of the service, and there's nothing wrong to having an order of the service. We need to make room for the dove. If the dove comes into place, I don't have to preach. If the Spirit of God begins to deal with hearts, the altars are always open. You're not going to disrupt service. You're not going to bother me one bit. When the dove gets loose, you know, I look at this, them binding the dove. I want you to hear what I have to say. Spiritual impurity will bind the dove. You got something in there that should not be. That dove can't get free. I'm not talking about in the church house necessarily. I'm talking about in the temple. We got something in our life that we need to get taken care of outside of the church before we get in the church so the dove can fly freely. I want you to notice something here. In verse number 14, after the doves was turned loose, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. You want to see miracles in the church like they used to have in the old days? You got to get the dove free. You want to see revival like they used to have? I'm talking about weeks on end. You got to set the dove free. I'm talking about personally. The dove in your life. Let the Holy Spirit have His way in your life. In your home. Well, I go to church, but you know what? It's just church as usual. I'm remembering 2025, but I'm looking forward to what could be in 2026. Are y'all with me? I'm looking for some mighty miracles. I'm looking for some, but the dove has got to be set free before it'll happen. Look what else takes place here. In verse 15, and when the chief priest and the scribe saw the wonderful things that he did, the children crying in the temple. You want to see a move in the young people? Parents, you got to get the dove set free. You got to set the dove free in your home. You got to set the dove free in your life. You can't cuss like a sailor and drink like a drunkard and expect your children to be in the altar. Now, it can't happen. All things are possible through Christ Jesus. But I'll tell you what, if you want to see a mighty move of God in your home and your family, it starts with you. By the way, we're all babes in Christ. And then I see that they were sore displeased. You're going to have it in every church. You're going to have someone that says, now, we need to be reverent in the sanctuary. Sister Tanya, we can't be lifting our hands. I can pick on her. She's my favorite Mexican. She knows what I'm talking about. We don't worship like that here. We don't get up and run around the altars. We don't do the Jericho March. You'll find out that their children are not crying in the altar either. We got to have smoke machines, fog machines. We got to have blacked out churches. We got to have dim lights. We got to have dancers on stage. We got to have flags a flying. We got to, you never will be able to compete with the world. If you're trying to entertain your children to get them involved in church, you're going down the wrong trail. What you've got to do is you've got to set the dove free. And you'll find that you'll have children crying in the temple. I'm not talking about a sad cry. I'm talking about crying like what we have around these altars with children weeping and praising God and living a sanctified, delivered life free from sin. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about being victorious through Jesus Christ. We can have more, church. We can have more. You're always going to have people that don't like it. What do you do? Do you tell them to leave? No, I praise them out of the church is what I do. I just go ahead and lift my hands and say, glory, hallelujah. I'll run around the altars. I'll shout. I'll dance. I'll get it. All it is conviction. They get under conviction and don't understand it, and they think that we're out of place. They're out of place. If they would just set the dove free. You know, the Bible tells us, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Yeah. You may say, well, y'all just act like a bunch of drunks, holy rollers. I tell you what, have you ever been around a drunk? They do some of the goofiest things. I didn't ask you have you ever drank. I asked you if you've ever been around one. If we could get the dove set free, we wouldn't care what other people thought about it. We wouldn't care how we acted. As you know, there's times that I've got up and preached and the anointing has fell on me and I did not know what I said. The Spirit spoke through me. You got to go back and listen to a recording and say, well, I don't remember saying that. If we would let the dove get free in our church, well, you'll find out that there's people that they don't like the message that changes lives. But it will when you get the dove free. You know, the Holy Spirit, it's interesting to me. You'll read in the book of Genesis that He was part of creation. You'll read where the Holy Spirit inspired this book that we read, that we hold so dear. You'll read where that the Holy Spirit was the one that raised Christ from the dead. But with all of the power that the Holy Spirit has, He will not make you get saved. If you refuse Him, if you reject Him, He'll allow you to bind Him. It's up to you to set Him free. With all of His power and all of His might, He will not make you. God has more for us this coming year, as long as we can keep the dove free. Stand with me if you will. I've held you long enough. What will 2026 be in your book? Will it just be another year that you haven't grown spiritually? Will it be just another mundane spring, summer, fall, and winter? Or will you heed the calling of the Holy Spirit? I can't help think, Brother Jared, about that little dove just going in circles trying to get loose, wanting to do something. And we bound him. You're here this morning. You're not saved. Or maybe you've been saved and you just need to renew your first works. Maybe you've been binding the Spirit, not allowing God to work in your life, to work through you. I'm going to invite you this morning to come and make it right. You can. 2026 can be better than what 2025 was. Will things still happen? Absolutely. Life goes on. I don't know what it'll bring. But I know this. I want to leave a testimony. I want people to remember me as someone that loved the Lord. Someone that was a Christian. The altars are open. Would someone feel like coming this morning? Don't wait.